I want you to open your Bibles this morning, first of all, in 1 Kings chapter 17, and then into the 18th chapter of this book of 1 Kings. That's 1 Kings and the chapter 17. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible word together, please, and commencing at verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of his chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so that when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him and said, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou shouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it came to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Amen, and we know that God will add his blessing again to the reading of his precious word. Just let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer.
Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray that thou will bless us now as we gather round thy precious and thy holy word. We pray that our God, that thou wilt, Lord, just teach us afresh, and, O God, lead us in the way we ought to go, following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing will harm me when Jesus leads the way. And, O God, our Father, we pray that thou wilt help us to go forward in thy name, to serve thee with all our hearts, knowing that thou art sovereignly in control of all things. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Now, in our last study in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, we found Elijah was still at Zarephath, the city of Zarephath. We considered on that occasion the trial that faced the widow woman and Elijah, because the widow woman's son was ill, and then her son died. And I believe that through this sudden occasion, that the life of Elijah and the life of the widow, their lives were both shaken right to the very core. But not only did we notice the trial, but we noticed the temptation. Verse number 18, it says, "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to slay my, or to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And once again, we notice the temptation, because when sudden death or sudden trials or sudden temptations and troubles come into our lives, we often do what this woman did. We just lash out. We lash out at somebody, and the person who was close by at that moment was God's servant Elijah, and she struck out to blame Elijah for the trial and the trouble that was in her life. Now, rather than humbling herself before God and asking God's servant to pray for her, to ask God to help her through the storm, she rather reproached the servant of God. But of course, before we blame this dear woman, just remember her heart's breaking. Just remember the tears that's running down her cheeks are real. We've seen the trial, we've seen the temptation, and then we come to verse 19. We see the trusting. Because here we find, what did Elijah do? You know, I don't believe that Elijah understood what is happening in this situation. I believe his life was shaken too. He wasn't expecting this trial to come into this woman's house or woman's life or even into his life either. He didn't understand what was happening. And yet do we see the godly conduct of this godly man? You know, the temptation for us is when somebody lashes out at us, we lash back. It's that rather than turning the cheek, my, we strike them upon the cheek. But you notice what God's servant does. It says in verse 19, "And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and he carried him up into the loft where he abode." See, the word of God says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." He didn't argue with her. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't debate with her. No. He even didn't try to spiritualize the moment. Because sometimes, you know, that's what people do. They try to spiritualize the case. "Well, you know, I understand that you're in deep trouble, but you know, there has to be, God has a real purpose in this." And when your heart's breaking, and you're looking in the face of a child or of a loved one or a husband, people start to just make statements to you rather than feeling for you. My friend, that's not easy. But Elijah didn't do any of those things. The Bible tells us that he simply asked her to give him her child. And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he reaches down, friend, lovingly. Remember, this is a rugged prophet of God. But it says there, and he took him out of her bosom. You see the care? Do you not feel the compassion of God's servant here? In the midst of this storm, and he reaches down and he lovingly takes that little boy out of his mother's bosom. And it says, and he carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. I'm sure as Elijah climbed those stairs, friend, after that lashing rebuke against him, ringing in his ears, you know, Elijah's only human, a man subject to passions just like as we are. I'm sure that he feels discouraged. He can't understand why is this happening in his life and in this woman's life. He has done everything that God asked him to do. He had gone when God asked him to go. He had stayed when God asked him to stay. Everything that he had done had been in the center of God's will. He never contemplated that in the center of God's will, as this woman was daily looking after God's servant, never expected that then suddenly the death would come. So what did he do? He simply carried his burden to the place of prayer. And that's what he did, friend. He carried that child up into his room. He laid the child upon his own bed. And then he got down before God in prayer. And he brought that burden to God. This was a real test for the man of God. This was a real test in the life of this woman whose heart was breaking. And so he gets alone with God. You know, sometimes people have this temptation whenever trouble strikes. They just want to get alone, full stop. But this God's child wasn't going alone to go into a pool of self-pity. He wasn't going to lie down and say, oh Lord, this is all wrong, and blame God as the woman had blamed him. No, my friend. What he did was this. He got alone with God. He withdrew himself with that burden in his arms and carried it lovingly. And then he, what does it say, verse 20? And he cried unto the Lord. He poured out his heart before God. He cried unto the Lord. Friend, listen, I do not believe that he understood the mystery of what was happening. But he spread his complaint before the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. You know, he climbed up the stairs to his own room to get alone with God, to the place where so many times before he had met with God. This is what he did. For he was a man of prayer. Is that what you do? Whenever situations are coming in your life that you don't understand, you get alone with yourself, friend, and get angry. Or do you lash out at others or even against God when you don't understand what is happening? Here was a man that got alone with God. He spread his complaint. And you'll notice in verse number 20, oh Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself out before the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. First of all, he prayed earnestly. This wasn't a lifeless prayer. This wasn't vain repetition. This was a heartfelt plea to God. He was restrained before the woman. but he wasn't restrained before God. He came to God earnestly. But notice he not only came before God earnestly, he prayed explicitly. Because whenever he took that child up into the room and he laid the child down upon that bed and he got down before the Lord and he relates the situation to God, he tells the Lord about the situation. Elijah's faith led him to the throne of grace. And friend, that's what a godly person does. That situations of trial or trouble or whatever it is that you can't understand, it leads you to the throne of grace in prayer to the God who does know. And he said, O Lord my God, hast thou? Lord, thou art in the midst of this situation. Now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, God, why hast thou? He didn't ask why. He did not ask why. He said, God, hast thou? You see, my friend, that was not his business to ask God. It wasn't his place to question the ways of the Most High God. It was sufficient for him to know that it was God was in the midst of this whole situation, that God was in the midst even of this death situation. And therefore, he was meekly submitting to God's sovereign pleasure. He was willing to trust God. Notice the way he said in his prayer twice. He says, O God, Lord, my God. That living relationship with God, he was willing to trust God. But listen, not only did he pray earnestly and explicitly, he prayed expectantly, verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. He prayed expectantly. Now, this was a big asking, friend. Because you and I can come before God and say, God, listen, Lord, I have your word, and you did it in days that are past. You worked this miracle in days that are past. I'm not asking you something, Lord, that you've never done before. Lord, you have proved that you have done this before. But let me tell you, my friend, whenever he was asking God for to raise this child, nobody had been resurrected before. This had never happened before. And therefore, he wasn't able to say, well, Lord, you have done it. And we find that this is the first resurrection recorded in the Scriptures. But I believe that why he prayed this way, because Elijah, as he prayed before God, prayed, we have just a summary of the record. But I believe that Elijah was so in touch with God that he knew the mind of God when he prayed that way. God did not raise others before this, but he was asking God to do the spectacular. He was asking God to do the miraculous. And yet as he prayed, you notice he stretched himself upon the child. He says, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. There's no doubt about what he's asking. He's not saying, Lord, give the mother grace to accept the death of her child. Not saying that. He's not saying, oh God, I want to know why this is all happening. Lord, why? He's not saying that. He's making a definite request, an expectant request. Therefore, he had to know the mind and the will of God. And he knew it was God's will that the boy be raised, and so he asked God to do it. He asked God to do the impossible. And he stretched himself three times upon this child, this dead body. Now let me notice something. Elijah knew the law that ceremonially this would be an unclean act because he was touching a dead body. But you see, to bring himself into immediate contact would make him ceremonially defiled. But he knew God was going to raise him. He knew God was going to raise him. This child, he says, God, bring his soul into him again. There's a wee verse over in 1 John chapter 5. In the verse number 14, and it says this. Let's just read it. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we need to know the will of God. We need to know the mind of God. I remember standing in outside the intensive care unit in Macrofield Hospital. I remember well going into that inner part of the intensive care where a lady was lying there, very critically ill, and the doctor said there was no hope, there was nothing they could do. I remember studying God's Word outside there. I was sitting all alone as the family were inside, and there's a person sitting in this church this morning as I read this story. Know how true this is. And I remember well going into, just sitting out there on my own and opening the Word of God, and I said, God, show me your will. And God showed me clearly, whilst the doctor said there were only a short time for the woman to live, and there was nothing they could do. No operation was going to solve it because they didn't know what to do in the operation. And yet God told me very clearly through his Word that she was not dying. I remember the family coming out and sitting beside me. And they asked me concerning her burial plot. Where was she going to be buried? Did I know? And I said, who are you burying? And he said, Mr. McCree, you heard the doctors. I said, listen, I heard the doctors, but I have a word from God here. And I don't know who you're burying, but I know one thing you're sure. You're not burying that woman in there. You see, friend, when you know the mind of God, then when you pray expectantly. You pray believingly. And that lady lived years after that to bear that testimony. You see, God, he prayed, God, oh my God, oh Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Listen, verse 22, here's the triumph. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. He was praying in the center of the will of God. God heard his voice. Listen, a faith that honors God is a faith that is honored by God. For God cannot deny himself. Do you remember whenever Paul was in the boat and the boat was in the sea and was breaking apart, he stood up and he said this. He says, I believe God. He says, will everyone get safe to land? Every last one. I believe God. How did he know it? Because he was on his knees before God. He sought the face of God. He knew the mind of God. He knew the will of God. My friend, seek the will of God. And whatever the storm is, if there's a lesson that God wants to teach us, then say, Lord, give us an understanding of it. Give us an understanding. And so it says in Elijah, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the joy Let me tell you, yes, there were tears again, but there were tears of joy what God had done. And he walked down those stairs, friend, and he carried a miracle. He brought the child to his mother. See, he delivered him unto his mother. The triumph of God. You know, thank God we see in verse 24 the testimony. And the woman said unto Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God." Maybe there's someone this morning, you're facing an impossible situation in your life. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know what your thoughts are. Maybe you're facing an impossible situation as far as man is concerned, as far as you're concerned. It's absolutely beyond hope. Have you ever thought about this fact? That you aren't in a situation by accident. You're not in your present situation by accident. You see, nothing happens if you are a child of God, friend. Nothing happens to you that isn't first approved by God. Do you remember Job? God's servant spoke about it short Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning. Let me tell you, my friend, the devil could do nothing against Job but with God's permission. And he could only go so far as God permitted. And no matter what that situation, to know that you are facing, I challenge you to do what Elijah did. I challenge you this morning to bring it before the Lord and to trust him. Trust him to see you over it or around it or through it, whatever the situation is. And the woman carried her child in her bosom, and she surrendered it, her child, into the arms of Elijah. Listen, surrender your problem today into the arms of God. Hand it over to him. Are you doing that? Are you handing it over to God, friend? You see, the answer lies to your situation is bringing it to the Lord. Bringing it to the Lord. Dr. Edmund, in his book, In Quietness and Confidence, writes about a godly man who faced a great trial. And he said in the midst of his life, he learned four things. First of all, God brought me here. It is by his will I am in this place. Therefore, in that fact, I will rest. Secondly, he will keep me here in his love, and he will give me grace here to behave as his child. Thirdly, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lesson he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. And then fourthly, in his time, he will bring me out again. How and when? He knows. In other words, to summarize that, friend, I am here by God's appointment. I am here in God's keeping. I am here under God's training. And he will show me his purposes in his time. There are no accidents with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? We need grace. We need God's grace to really believe that with all our hearts. Now notice, friend, very quickly, because I know time is just about to go and we're chapter 18 is another different story. But notice, it says in verse 1, chapter 18, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab." Now, remember what God said? Go hide thyself. And God took him to Cherith. That was the place where it means to be cut down. In other words, God had to cut God's child down in preparation for the journey that lay before him when he'd go back into the presence of King Ahab. And then it came to pass that God says, go to Zarephath. That means the place of refining, because God had to knock the edges off him. And is it not true that sometimes you and I in our lives, listen, God allows and God permits and God sends situations into our lives to do those things, to bring us to the place where we are cut down to size because we think that somehow that we are able to conquer everything in our own strength. We are able to manage every situation, and God has got to cut us down to remind us, I can do all things through Christ. That's the secret. And friend, let me tell you, if you've learned that lesson, then that's a worthy lesson to learn. But you know, my friends, God also has other refining things to do in our lives. He's got to knock the rough edges off us. God has got to refine us. God wants to make us conform to the image of his son. But you know, there's a natural part in us that rebels against us, and God has to put us into the crucible of refining. God did that for his child at Zarephath. Oh, what a lesson to learn as you looked upon the face of that dead child. And he knew that of himself he could do absolutely nothing. As he listened to the rebuke and the lashes of anger of that woman, God had to refine him to say nothing. And sometimes, my friend, let me tell you, you can say more by saying nothing. Situations. But he had to learn to trust God. Oh Lord, my God. And you need to bring the Lord into your situation, because let me tell you, the mark of an approved servant of God is the spirit of patience. Spiritual patience. Two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. Notice, comes first. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. In much patience. Turn to chapter 12 of the same book. And the verse number 12, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. But the signs of an apostle was first in patience. And then James, and the chapter 1, and verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Listen. Do you notice whenever he appears onto the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17? And he walks into the presence of the king Ahab, and he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He was a man of faith. You come to the end of the chapter, verse 24. Now by this I know, thou art a man of God. What a testimony. A man of God. Is that what the world sees when they look at us, friend? How we react to situations? Because let me say this. There was no sense of being feeling the feeling of being let down at any time in that sojourn in chapter 17. Elijah never felt let down. Even when God took him away from the presence of the king and then took him away to the solitude of Cherith and then away into the situation at Zarephath. You know, in our lives, when trials come into our lives, we can react in two ways. We can either allow our trials to draw us closer to God. But sometimes trials in the lives even of a child of God drives them from the Lord. May God grant that we be driven close to Him, that we'll cry out, O Lord, my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee this morning, there is not one of Thy children that are gathered here in Thy house but has known what it is to walk through a lonely valley. But we thank and we praise Thee that Thou art the lily of every valley, Thou art the bright and the morning star, because Thy word says, unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. And we thank Thee that Jesus is that light. Oh God, I pray that whatever situation we face this week, that we will be drawn closer to Thee. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that Thou will never let us get bitter in life and, oh God, so angry that we lash out at everyone and everything, but that we might, in submission, fall at Thy feet, bring Thee into our situation. Lord, Thou art already there, but let us feel Thy touch. Let us know Thy leading. And to those that are not saved, Lord, I realize that they too will face trials and troubles, and yet they have no one. They have no friend like Jesus. Lord, I pray that even this morning, that Thou will show them that they're sinning against Thee, a holy and a righteous God, and give them grace and faith, a repentant heart, that they might look to Thee for salvation. O Lord my God, save the lost and strengthen thy children. In Jesus' name.